So we're learning the Rambam's Hakdamah to Perek Shnei Mishnah. We're just learning it very broadly on some level. Let's talk about what we've spoken about so far and what our sort of next couple of shiurim and what's going to be going on. Well, we've spoken a lot about the idea of Torah Shebaal Peh. Why learn Gemara? What makes Gemara unique? Why is there such an emphasis on Gemara? And then we spoke for a while about the role of Nevi'im and the role of Ruach HaKodesh and the role of, in general, when it comes to Talmud Torah, the role of sort of the non-intellectual. To what extent can Hashem still get involved in things? Tzad HaShemaya, Ruach HaKodesh, etc. A little bit of Shemaya. Maybe we spoke last week a little bit about Torah Seretz Yisrael. Rav Kook's vision of a certain kind of Talmud Torah that would be less based on Seichel and more unique to Eretz Yisrael. As you go on in the Rambam's Hakdamah to Perek HaMishnah, so what we're now going to encounter is a very, very important discussion. It's a discussion which is important for understanding Chazal. There is significant, I think, at times, frustration for specific individuals relating to this particular question. So let's talk about it. Let's understand where things come from. Part of what we're doing today is a classic sort of sheer sugya. I want to try to do it in a bit of a different way, so we can appreciate it more a little bit from a machshava perspective than just a classic sheer in the world of lumdas. So let me try and introduce the topic a little bit so that we can be very, very clear. The Rambam writes in his Hakdamah to Perek HaMishnah, Mishnah, Kasher Meis Yoshua Ben Nun, that when Yoshua passes away, so he taught the Zakenim whatever he taught. There were different dinim there. They were going to be the ones who were going to determine what the halacha is. The Zakenim were the ones that had a Mesorah. They would determine the correct interpretation of Psukim. They're the ones that would be given a certain kind of authority. Vasher nafal bo machlokas pasku bo adin al pi rov hazakenim. What if there's a machlokas? In the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, a machlokas, Moshe Rabbeinu could clarify everything. But once Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, that's the Gemara and Tmur that we have spoken about. Once Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, so suddenly we don't have necessarily that clear way of clarifying all details and all halachas. And in a certain sense, we go based on, we're going to have machloksim. We're going to speak about it in a couple of weeks, Be'ezus Hashem. We'll speak about machloksim, as there are machloksim a function of a breakdown of Mesorah, or machloksim because that was how the Torah wanted it to be, and why is there so much machlokas. But part of what we want to try to figure out here a little bit today, so it's very, very clear. It says the Rambam, in general, the way that things are going to work, the Zakenim, the Chachamim, are going to be the primary ones who control what the halacha is going to be. At times there will be a machlokas, and at times we will therefore have to follow Rov. But all else being equal, when you want to know what to do, it's Moshe Kibal Torah, Mesinai, Mesarah, Zakenim, Zakenim, Nevim, Anshanak, Katsagadola. There's a certain Mesorah, there's certain people that are given more authority. They're given more authority. We know that this is true with Chazal in general. Chazal, we relate to the words of Chazal with a certain kind of reverence. We can't really, you want to know what the halacha is, so it's Chazal's interpretation of the halacha that is binding. If I think Chazal are wrong about something, if I think what Chazal said is, it doesn't make that much sense, so I don't have the right to challenge Chazal. Now, why that's so, I want to speak about it a little bit this morning, but I don't have that right. The real authorities for this, that's Chazal. And sometimes what you have, we've spoken in the past about drashas, but sometimes what you have is a frustration that can at times ensue as a result of this. Why am I listening to Chachamim? Why can't I give my own voice a little bit more in the halachic process? Even if you can have it, as much as, let's say, Rav Moshe Feinstein may have been mechadish in the world of Torah, he was bound by the words of Chazal. Rav Moshe wasn't able to say, I've used a different pshat in the pasuk than Chazal, lihalacha, and therefore paskin differently. And the question becomes, on some level, what is the source of that authority? What is the source of that authority? That's a question which is a very powerful question. It's a question which, bizman hazeh, is a uniquely powerful question. Look at source number 5, Dr. Chaim Waxman, the role and authority of the rabbi in American society. The classic opening marker for discussion on Lo Sasser. What he points out, which is, again, basic sociology, most of us, we know this intuitively. Increasingly, the idea of, in religion, the idea of us doing things because we have to, the fact that there are people who have authority and authority over us and what we must do, is a topic which makes people incredibly uncomfortable at times. Part of Western society, I want to be someone who's independent, I want to feel like I'm free, I want to make my own choices. The notion of authority, of someone being able to tell you what to do, or the Torah being able to tell you what to do, is something which is very, very troubling for many people. Who gives them that kind of authority, and why is that good? You even have people that think that it's unethical in a certain sense, for like the Torah to come along and say like you have to do this. You have people in certain discussions about, is it wrong for Rabbanim to ever give an authoritative psak? Maybe it should be more like the way doctors work. What do doctors do? Doctors, like, they tell you the opinions, they tell you the information, and you choose on your own. If you want to get a second opinion that you're more comfortable with, so go ask someone for a second opinion, and maybe you'll be more comfortable with that. Now, most of the time that you're looking for a second opinion that has a kula. But that's a general kind of a discussion as to, like, the notion of authority is one that people are profoundly uncomfortable with. And the fact that Chazal, what they say, is considered to be so binding, is so binding, that is something which is... Sorry, I didn't... that is something which, again, where does that come from, and why is it so binding? What I want to talk about today are a couple of things. I want to focus on a level of mucker. Why are the drushos of Chazal, why are the takanas, siyagim, mitzvos that Chazal established, why are those considered to be binding? Why must I listen to Chazal at all? What's the source? And hopefully I want to do so in a way in which we can gain greater clarity. We can gain greater clarity as to maybe why, not just the mucker and to give sakasav, but to get some insight, to have some understanding as to the authority of Chazal, why that authority of Chazal is going to be binding, why that's something which is going to be very important when it comes across. It's something which is implicit in all of our learning in Gemara. Implicit is that what Chazal say are binding, or is binding, and we want to try to figure out what's going on here. So let's start like this. The pasuk that is most often associated with rabbinic authorities, a pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, source number 2, Dvarim Yedzayin Aleph. Al pi haTorah she'aruchah v'amishpat she'yomer lecha ta'aseh lo sasa v'nadavar she'agidu lecha yamin u'smol. Torah tells us that you are not allowed, that when if you have sfeikos, what do? So follow the Torah which is given to you. The Torah is given to you by chachamim, lo sasa min hadavar. You should not stray from what they say, yamin u'smol, right or left. The pasuk on some level is clarifying for us that you're supposed to, when you have certain kinds of sfeikos, to try to clarify to the best of your ability to go to the Chachamim, they will tell you what is right and what is left. I'm going to speak very briefly right now, just so we should be aware of this. Rashi writes in his Perush al Torah, there a Rashi that we are very, very familiar with. Rashi says, "Filu omer lecha yamin shu smol v'asmol shu yamin." This level of authority is so binding, but the way Rashi seems to say it, even if they are wrong, they tell you your right is left or your left is right, you still have to follow Chachamim. Chachamim's power seems to be incredibly sweeping. What we have to point out and we have to be aware of is that in the Sifri, it's a little bit different. This was Shepard, I think, that Joy is pointing out. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, it's even more explicit that is not true. The way Rashi quotes is not the only interpretation. If you look in the Yerushalmi says, Yachal im yomru lecha ayamin shu smol v'al shmol shu yamin she'at tishmalahem. Is it possible that you listen to them, even if what they're telling you, the right is left, left is right, says the Yerushalmi, absolutely not. It is only binding to listen to Chachamim when what they are saying is accurate. You have no obligation whatsoever to listen if they're really wrong. That's an important machlokas. Maybe a different week we'll speak about that, as far as what do you do when we believe that maybe they made a mistake, and how binding it is. For many Rishonim, let's talk about this. There is a very famous Rambam and Ramban machlokas. Let's start by pointing out as follows. Why am I listening to Rabbanan? What is the source that I listen to the Rabbanan? So all agree, Rambam and Ramban. It's a discussion in Shorash Aleph of Sefer Mitzvos. This stuff you got to know. It's very, very well known. The Rambam and the Ramban both agree that the Torah here is giving authority to Chachamim to interpret Psukim. Yurgimul midos haTorah drash bahen. If you want to know pshat in the pasuk, the Torah here is very clear that the Torah is giving that authority to Beis Din HaGadol. The Torah is giving that authority to Chazal, that they are the ones who are able to interpret psukim. They are the ones who are able to really give good quality insight. Now, according to the Rambam, Lo Sasar is the source for lots of derabbanans. All derabbanan mitzvot, siyagim, takanas, v'chulei, those things are included in Lo Sasar. The Ramban does not think that that's true. We'll elaborate on the Ramban in a little bit. But according to the Rambam, the pasuk here is teaching us something very important, which is if you want to know why listen to the Rabbanan, Because the Torah told me so. The Torah told me to. Why would the Torah tell me to? Could just be Gzeir Sakasav, but unlikely. What's the Svara? Why would the Torah say you have to follow, you have to follow the Rabbanan? Why would the Torah want that to be the case? Here I think that there are two ways to go. There are two ways to go, and maybe these two ways help us get insight into Rashi and the Yerushalmi. One way to go, we'll speak about this in a couple of minutes, is, well, who is most likely to be correct? In every area of life, we go with those people who are more, who have greater expertise. If I want to know the right interpretation of Pasuk, so who has the greatest expertise? The answer to that is undoubtedly Chazal. Sometimes it is a little bit of a point of frustration. I learn a drasha, and I'm not sure the drasha really makes that much sense. I don't connect to it that much. Okay, but who has the greater authority to know what the drasha really would be? Who is the person who is most capable of clarifying undoubtedly that those people are the greatest experts? Just like in the world of medicine. The people who have the greatest authority, we know is the greatest authority, the people who are the greatest experts. That's one way of saying it. Anyone have a different shot as to why? That? Okay. So another way to say that another factor, not mutually exclusive, another factor, it's a way of maintaining a certain kind of order. Chazal tells us in Rambam's text, "Yivamot losis godu," that we don't want to have different people, agudus and klal Yisrael. Rashi interprets that to mean that we don't want it to look like that, like there are two Torahs. The Rambam interprets that to mean that we don't want there to be machloksim in klal Yisrael. And part of what we may be trying to do here, we have to have a system. Everyone can have their own rules. Everyone, we're trying. This is actually an interesting idea. This is a machshava point. The goal of Torah is not just to establish, to have yechidim be mekayim mitzvos. If the goal was to have yechidim be mekayim mitzvos, there wouldn't really be that much of a need for uniformity. Part of what Chumash, part of what we're trying to accomplish is not that at all. Part of what Chumash we're trying to have is a society of people who are going to be keeping Torah mitzvos together. We are a klal-based system. We don't want people who are sitting in their own room and they are keeping halacha by themselves and they're doing it in their own way. We want to be part of a klal. We don't want it to look like there are two Torahs. We don't want it to look like there are... We want it to have a certain degree of uniformity. If you give the authority to every person on their own to make up whatever it is that they want to make up, you will have nothing that resembles a Torah-based society because everyone will do their own thing. Everyone will do whatever it is that they want. Now, we do know that we do have a range in Klal Yisrael. We have Ashkenazim, we have Sephardim, we have different... What plays better than Yeshivat Shalvim to clarify the fact that there are different Nusach HaTfilos? That is the mucker of different Nusach HaTfilos. It is even likely that there are people who get up there and for kicks make up whatever they want because no one's going to call them out on it and it's just all good. We're still waiting for the guy with the No Aleinu, instead of the multiple Aleinus. But right now we more or less, like this is the... Okay. But there's still a certain kind of tzura, much as for many of us. Let's say Nusach HaTfilah, there are times where we really have no idea what's going on. Those times actually are not as often as we think. They tend to happen immediately after Shemoneh Esrei, when it's like that Tachanun zone. After Shemoneh Esrei, when it's like those, are we dropping a random parak in Tehillim right now? Are we not? There's that question of like, so Aleinu is like, do you say Aleinu before Ashrei today? Or is it Aleinu like right after Shemoneh Esrei, before Tachanun, Aleinu after? Aleinu at the way end, and then again afterwards just for kicks. So we have a hard time figuring, but we more or less get the basic structure as to how Nusach HaTfilah. There's a basic... One thing Lo Susser ensures is maybe not just greater accuracy, but greater uniformity, and a certain kind of uniformity which is going to allow people to have a society based on Torah mitzvos. That's one mahalach. I find that to be important. It's also why I get very scared. I referenced this 2 weeks ago by the people that like totally invent their new approach to halacha and do things in a very different way. Like with David Bar Chaim, we quote a couple weeks ago, the guy in Shiloh who decided that from now on we like just paskin like Yerushalmi and we should daven in Nusach HaTefillah davened in like the 11th century, I think. So I've never been there and I imagine it would be a fun field trip, but we don't have field trips, so that's our first problem. But I don't know if that's our first problem. That's like maybe a fourth problem, but that's another reason why we're never going there. But there's something that gets me nervous. This is me. when you start having, you know, very original, very, you know, lo sasar. It's possible, I'll say this very, very quickly, that's part of the pshat and shittas Rashi. I am intrigued min val small shoe small. It's not a question of whether, even if they're wrong sometimes, there may be increased value to the uniformity over even the accuracy. That there are certain times that we prefer for people to be together, people to do similar things, because that's what we want. We want a society based on that, and therefore we're going to follow Rabbanan. Yeah.
How do you explain Ashkenazim's part? It really does look
okay. So that was okay. Perfect. When we get to, I would love. I'll talk about that in a week or two. When we speak about machlokas and how that emerges. But yeah, that's important. That was a 100% not. I did not answer your question even at all. I had to validate your question. It is a good question, and I hope to speak about it at a different time. I'm really validating it. We need a whole shiur to talk about that question. Okay. The Ramban, that's not true. And the Ramban says a couple of the Ramban established, lo sasar means how I interpret psukim. It is not the source for all Rabbanans. It is not the source for following the Rabbanan in other, in lots of other areas. Mitzvos, siyagim, gezeros, v'chulei. Gezeros may be different than when you follow up, but in general, those things are considered. So why do I follow Rabbanan? Why do I follow them? The Ramban does not like the Rambam. If they're all a function of lo sasar, so why are Rabbanans more makel than Doraisas? They're all really the same. So according to the Ramban, though, according to the Ramban, why am I following? The Ramban does not give us a real mucker. Why am I following the Rabbanim? Why am I following Chazal? Why is what they say binding about, not just forget interpretation of psukim, why is what they say binding in so many other, why do I have to keep Hanukkah or Purim? Okay, so those are like a little bit easier. We got those. But like, some of the other ones. Yeah, you're like Baltosif land. I'm about to say, Hanukkah, exactly. There's like, let's try to understand a little bit where it comes from. I want to try to develop three mahalchim. Again, this is very easily like a lumdus hashir. I'm trying to do it in a way which gives us a little bit more insight on a machshava level. But Rabbi Chanan, in Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, Rabbi Chanan says something which is important. Rav Asher Weiss likes invoking it and extending it. Rav Sachs likes taking it and extending it even farther or further. I'm not sure. Only because I don't know what the words mean. And I'm very tired. One of them is a relation of time. Yeah, whatever. Rav Chanan says like this. There's a Gemara Masech Sivamas. The Gemara tells us that Moshe, before Matan Torah, established, made certain changes. That Moshe made certain changes. Moshe is someone who added something here a little bit. He hosted Yomechav Midaito. Then Moshe made certain changes. And the Gemara says, the Ribbono Shalom was maskim to Moshe's changes. Rav Chanan derives from there an unbelievable insight for the Ramban. There is absolutely no pasuk whatsoever that tells us that we should be following Chachamim in everything. There's no pasuk that gives them anywhere near the sweeping power that they appear to have in Chazal. However, says Rav Chanan, so why do I follow? Because I can derive something from that Gemara, and that's the following. It is the Ratzon HaTorah. It is the will and the desire of the Ribbono Shel Olam to follow Chachamim. That's the Makar. The Makar is, it's the Ratzon HaTorah to follow it. Now, that's a little bit tricky, because if you're playing the game of Ratzon HaTorah, so Ratzon HaTorah could be used really for any. If there's no explicit source, so where's the Ratzon HaTorah? He's deriving it from Moshe Rabbeinu. But for Rav Chanan, it's a very, very powerful insight. Look in source number 9 here. Now, it's not explicit in Chumash, therefore we're going to be more makel with the Rabbanans. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, we see from his agreement to Moshe Rabbeinu that in general, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to follow Ratzon Hashem. Obviously, Hashem is Ratzon Hashem. That Ratzon Hashem is that we should follow Rabbanim. There is no makar, but Ratzon Hashem. That's not so illogical. We get the fact that may be true. Now, why would that be that the Ratzon Hashem is to follow Chachamim? So, one may be for the uniformity we mentioned earlier. Two may be because they are the greatest experts. But still, you have a question as to why you would set up the system this way. Even if this is the case, why would you want to set up the system in a way which is so dependent on Chachamim and so not dependent on anything else? Why would Ratzon Hashem be this way? So they put out a like Kuntz Divrei Sofrim is published in the second chelek of Kovei Shiurim. I bought a couple of years ago a separate edition of Kuntz Divrei Sofrim. they have some wonderful, wonderful footnotes. They quote in one of these footnotes, if I can find it, that would be like a good thing to do. They quote a Ramchal. The Ramchal adds in something else. What's the pshat in this Ratzon HaTorah kind of an idea? Where's Ratzon HaTorah really come from? So maybe it's not just about uniformity, and maybe it's not just about who the greater experts are. But part of where it comes from is the following. Why couldn't Hashem just tell us? If Hashem wanted uniformity, just tell us exactly what to do in all cases. If Hashem wanted greater expertise, just give us all the halachas. Why do we have these things where Hashem didn't tell us? And here the Ramchal points out something which we have noted about Chazal and Torah Shebaal Peh in general, because Hashem wants us to be active participants. Hashem wants us to be people who are very much involved in this. The goal of giving authority to Chachamim is not about, listen very close to what I'm about to say right now, it is not about losing your free will and negating man's capacity to have initiative. It's about giving man initiative. The other option was never have keras. The other option was never everyone do whatever they want based on your own interpretation of things. Whatever you feel is more spiritual is what you should be doing. The other option was Ribbono Shel Olam telling you everything. And part of what we're trying to have with the Ratzon Hashem is the idea that we are involved and our goal is to try to figure out what is Ratzon Hashem. That the goal of Chazal is to try to delve and learn and get a good appreciation for what Ratzon Hashem really is. Now, that's true for Chazal, that's why it's binding. It's also true for us, each in our own way. That part of what a person is striving to do, this is going to be this is a subtle point. We're trying to learn Torah in a way in which we are more attuned to what Ratzon Hashem really is. There are two ways to learn Torah. Now, there's like a million different things to say right now, two ways to learn Torah. But the two ways I'm referring to right now, as far as how to learn Torah, it's like, I think in, is this true? In Kishas Levi or Noam Elimelech, I forget which one because I'm just not thinking right now. One of them often has like, there are two kinds of tzaddikim. And I have to say, if there's like 375 different ways, Noam Elimelech. There's like 375, but it's also like Kishas Levi and Parshas Korach and Parshas Noach. But that there are two different ways of two kinds of tzaddikim. And you have like a million different distinctions. You know, like the tzaddik does this, tzaddik does that. And a different piece, like two kinds of tzaddikim. So two kinds of ways of learning Torah. Here we're not talking about like Lishma or Shalom Lishma or like Lumdus or Bikias or Ian or like this, there. No. Two ways of learning Torah. One way of learning Torah is the pure acquisition of information. This is a yisod. Is the pure I'm learning Torah to acquire dinim and just to know what to do, lemaisa in a narrow sense of what it says. That kind of limud haTorah will never allow a person to really understand well what is Ratzon haTorah. That will never give a person that much insight into what Ratzon Hashem is beyond applying the detail that you know. I learned Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, so now I know that what I do in the case of Netilas Yadayim. But there's another way to learn Torah. This the Rav in Halachic Mind wrote about, I think, very, very, very powerfully. And that is to learn Torah in the following way. You learn Torah when I'm trying to also derive a certain kind of worldview and perspective based on Torah. That I want to learn Torah in a way that Torah impacts me and it transforms me, akadekach that I would be able as a result to understand. We can admit that was like, has been one of the more random things that have ever happened. I'm just saying, like, it was a wallet. It wasn't even like, I'm just saying that was unbelievable. Literally, like, it is hard to believe that just happened. But I can learn Torah in a way where it shapes and molds my personality. I can learn Torah in a way like this. I'm going to give a Baba Basra example. That when I learn the first parak of Baba Basra, I can either learn the first parak of Baba Basra to know the halachas of Shechinim, or I can also learn the first parak where I know more than the halachas of Shechinim, where I know I've derived a certain Torah perspective as far as how the Torah thinks a person should behave, and therefore, even in case where there is no halacha, I can know what the Ratzon Hashem is. The difference between focusing only on letter of the law and being able to learn in a way in which you have a good understanding also of spirit of the law. That, in many ways, is Ratzon Hashem, and to get to that madrega requires a real lifetime of work. If I don't know what the Torah thinks about something, this we did, I think, a decent job of, those of you that were, we did a pretty good job of this when it comes to the nature of marriage. What's marriage about? I can learn the first parak of Kiddushin, I can learn the first parak of Ksuvis, and I can learn those in a way in which I understand a certain kind of Kiddusha, a certain kind of orientation that I'm supposed to have towards marriage as a whole. That is, for Rav Hanan, I think, one way of going about Ratzon Hashem. There are two other interpretations that I want to try to speak about, two other Mahalchim. One is a, One is a mahalach of Rav Shlomo Fisher in Drushas Beis Yishai. Rav Shlomo Fisher, it's in Drushas and in Sefer Beis Yishai. Shlomo Fisher is a massive Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim. He is, I believe I once heard, I'm trying to think if I can say the name, but that's okay. From the son of a very well-known Rashiva that we've all heard. Told me Rav Shlomo Fisher is the only one that he's ever heard his father say is holding in Kol Torah Kula, like Pshuto Kamashma, like Mamish, like holding every, from Lamdas to Halacha to Kabbalah and Chasidus to Mefarshim al HaTorah. His farm are unbelievable. He has Drush, his farm in Shas, called Beis Yishai, which are more Ian. He also has this Sefer, which is called the Drush of Beis Yishai, which is a very, very interesting Sefer. Rav Fisher has a significant following of people who are very much machshav of him. He's like an expert in the philosophy of Rishonim. He's a real, his scope is incredibly sweeping. For him, this is an unbelievable insight. You know where the koach of Chachamim come from? Where the koach of Chazal come from? It's not that it comes from Ratzon HaTorah, but rather the source is not Chumash or Lo Sasser. The source is us. The source is us. He points out a tshuva of the Rivas. The Rivas quotes a Ramban. That Ramban is in a sefer called Mishpat Chayrim. The Rivas writes as follows. Here it has in the sefer Beis Yishai. The drushas again is right here. The Rivas writes as follows. Shekol kabbalas harabim la'azosiyah v'gedil ha-Torah, hu kabbalas ha-Torah v'chalim v'alzara machareyam. You know an amazing thing? You know why what Chazal say are binding? Because we accepted kichlal to follow Chazal. It was a kabbalah by us. You know who said you have to listen to rabbis? We did. We made that binding on us. And if Klal Yisrael accepts something as binding, it is binding on them and subsequent generations. How do I know that's true? That if Klal Yisrael accepts something, it is binding on them and subsequent generations. What's the mucker for that? So says Rav Ashi, the Ramban, the mucker is Kabbalas HaTorah. Why is Kabbalas HaTorah? Why do I have to keep it? What, because they kept it? And the answer is yes. When Klal Yisrael are mekabel upon themselves something, that becomes binding. It becomes binding, and we are bound by it also. The Kesef Mishnah writes in Chos Mamrin. That is why. Why can't I argue with? What's the back? Kesef Mishnah there. I can't argue with Amoran. Okay, Amoran with Tanayim. The reason why I can't argue with Chazal, said Kesef Mishnah, is because Klal Yisrael was. I mean, you quoted. That's why I'm. Okay. Oh. You should have. Just kidding. Okay. The. It's binding on. It is binding on us because we accepted not to argue with Chazal. An unbelievable insight. The reason why it's binding has nothing. It's because we said to ourselves, not Chumash, not Hashem. We said to ourselves, this is how we want to do it. This is how we want to do it. That's something which he extends to a lot of different contexts. This idea of Kabbalas HaRabim in many ways being binding. But it does shift things a little bit. The authority in that way, if we can say it like in a, it's incredibly democratic at its core. The reason why what Chazal say are binding is not because the Torah made us do it, because we chose that to be the case. The Rav spoke about that in general, that sometimes following rabbinic authority in many ways is democratic. No one's going to force you, especially Bizman Hazeh. We're not going to get into the Kofnoso, mitzvahs asay. We're not going to get into Makas Mart. If you want to keep or not keep, we choose that we want to accept the authority. We choose to accept the authority. Now, that choice, in a certain sense, is no longer in our hands. That choice was already made by our ancestors and is therefore binding on us. But at its core, that decision is one that we chose. We believed it to be in our best interest. It is at its core a decision that we made to invoke a certain system. Again, elements of it are very democratic. Elements of it are binding us. It's the nature of halacha that we can make it binding us. But it has to do with us believing that is the wisest track. Why would we believe it's the wisest track? For all the reasons that we already mentioned. We believe it's the wisest track because it ensures uniformity. We can have a society like that. It's the wisest track because they are the greatest experts. They're the ones who are going to be... But it comes from us, not from there. And that's a model in general for understanding like this. The reality of our lives until Yemosha Mashiach, the reality of most of our lives, is that the choices that
our religious choices are going to be our, we're going to feel like they are our choices. We're going to decide, do I want to submit myself to a certain authority? Do I not want to submit myself to a certain authority? That's the question. That's the question. And that's something which we have to be able to be sensitive to. How much am I, authority is something that sometimes we are makabel upon ourselves. I'll share with you a third mahalach for the Ramban. So far I really have, I think, four reasons as a whole why we're following. Lo Sasser, the Rambam, that's in general. The Ramban, Lo Sasser, is more limited. So the more expansive definition, where does it come from? One is Ratzon Hashem. The third thing we mentioned is Beis Yishai, the Kabbalas HaRabim. Rav Kook has a very similar idea. You should just know in case you want to, like, know where it says. I think it's just two things, but in terms of 13, which you don't have. Sefer Adar Yikar on page 39. Rav Kook has a little bit of a similar insight. And in Ochos HaRaya, Rav Kook was Messiah, gave a hajjit on Shas. He had a bit of a different shot. But in Adar Yikar, Rabbi Simon Shlita, in a Sefer Imre Baruch, Tokef Aminag Bahalacha, has a very similar mahalach. Also, that's all there. Rav Shimon says something which is unbelievable. Rav Shimon's in Shari Yosher, and it is a... I find it very, very powerful and very thought-provoking. You know why you have to follow Chazal? Chazal themselves, I'm going to say in a little bit of a more extreme way, have no authority whatsoever. Chazal, they have authority to interpret psukim and drushas. But for the Ramban, Chazal do not have authority to just make up mitzvahs and takanas and gezeiras all entirely on their own. They don't have that authority. They don't have that authority because the Torah does not directly give them that authority. There's no makar mefurash. They don't have that authority because it's not a function of us being mekabel upon ourselves to do whatever they say. It's going to have intense interpretations for Yemin Shu Small and Small Shu Yemin. But says the Reb Shimon, when Chachamim say things, they have a reason for saying it. Chachamim are not random. When Chachamim establish something, there is a svara. There is a logic as to why they are saying that. There is a certain kind of svara. There's a certain kind of logic why they are saying what they are saying. There's a svara that is present. You know why we have to follow them? The same svara that led the Rabbanim to establish it, that svara is what is mechayev us. Svara can be a mechayev. Lamali kres svarahu. That's why we have Motzei Chorel V'Raya. That's why we have Pesha Aser. That svara as a mechayev, that's the Gemara in Brachas Lamed Hei we call all the time. You can't eat without making a bracha. How come? A svara. It's wrong to do so. It's wrong to take something from this world and not make a bracha. Svaras are binding. We have an obligation to do that which is logically compelling. We can't be random people. We have an obligation and an achrayas to do that which, al pi svara, makes the most sense. If something is very compelling and very logical, so then we have to do it. If it's a compelling and logical svara, it's therefore binding on us. Why do we have to follow Motzei Mechaber El Varaya? Well, it makes sense. And that which makes sense is what we have to do. That part of what our goal is, what the Ribbono Shalom wants of us, is to follow what's clear in Chumash, and to do that svara, a clear and logical mind, in the words of Salvechik, can be a mechayev. That we are entrusted to use our seichel and decide what is the best thing to do based on Torah ideals and based on Torah principles. What do the Rabbanim do? What do Chazal do? Chazal decide, based on Torah ideas and Torah principles, what is the most compelling and logical thing to do. And you know what? We also have to do that which is the most compelling and the most logical based on Torah ideals and Torah principles. Who are the best people to figure out what is the most logical thing to do based on Torah ideas and Torah principles? Chazal. And that same svara that motivated them motivates us. To say it a little bit, why am I keeping Chanukah? Why am I keeping Chanukah? Not because Chachamim, Ratzon Hashem, Mitzvah Chachamim. Not because we were mekabel upon ourselves to listen to what they say. But because there's an idea of Chanukah that is incredibly compelling from a Torah perspective. From a Torah perspective, Chanukah makes a lot of sense. If you have Torah ideals and Torah values, and you think about what would the Torah want us to do in reaction to this, the Torah, Misvara, would want us to celebrate this kind of a miracle. The Torah wants us to establish a Chag, Midrabanan, to commemorate ideas of Mikdash, to be Mefarsim Nisim, That's what the Torah wants. Who are the people most in tune with what the Torah wants? How are we going to know which svaras are most binding and which make more sense? Chacham are the ones that are most in tune. But the ultimate authority comes not from Ratzon HaTorah or from some Kabbalah that we have. The ultimate authority stems in many ways from their own kind of the logic and compelling nature of what they are saying. But sometimes I don't find it to be as compelling. Sometimes I don't find it to always be as logical. Sometimes that happens. So number one, there can be a degree of anava sometimes, that maybe they do have more insight into it. I think that it would be better if we celebrated Hanukkah by making it Environment Day. Why? I don't know. I haven't thought enough to make up a shot. But I'm saying there's, let's say I think something like that. So I hear that, but sometimes there could be some humility to understand that what Chazal had insight in was far greater. A little bit more than that, the Gra maintained that at least with Gezeras, Chazal did not always explicitly tell us what was entirely motivating everything that they did. There are often multiple factors, and Chazal gave us some insight, but not all the insight. And therefore, part of it is also understanding that we may not have the full picture. But that's where the humility comes in to say, based on Torah ideas, based on ideals and Torah principles, this makes the most sense. This is what is the most logically compelling. And I think that this gives us some good insight into the authority of Chazal. Many people talk about authority. Rambam's Hagdan appears in Mishnah. It's very clear that there's a certain Mesorah, and Chazal have a certain very, very intense authority. Chazal in Drashas, Lo Sasser, in other areas, maybe Lo Sasser, other kinds of Mekoros, there is a certain kind of authority there. In general, I think that we really have three general Mahalchem. The authority of Chazal, where it's coming from, some of us may connect more to some of these ideas than other ideas here, but I think it does give us, at least for me, a little bit of chizuk in being accepting a little bit of authority. There's a degree of authority that comes because Ribbono Shel Olam wants there to be that authority, and to appreciate the value of being part of a society where people are doing similar things. It's not Tzedukim and Prushim, where it's so different, they couldn't function in one base on Mikdash. There's value in that, and there's value with and safety with greater expertise, but it comes from Chumash. For others, it comes from on top. Maybe Ratzon HaTorah also is coming from on top. For some, the source of the authority is from us. We chose to have this authority upon us, and that is now binding. That's something else which is very important about our strength and our ability in establishing a certain kind of system and deciding the Lach Pras was going to be whatever it was. The third Mahalach of Reb Shimon is one that Rishon Fisher does not like at all, but it is one that is very intriguing, and that is that maybe the source for the authority is etzem, the idea and the content of what they are saying. What they're saying is logically compelling. If you're a Torah person, the way I react to the miracle of Hanukkah is by establishing Hanukkah. The way I react to the miracle of Purim is by establishing Purim, and to have the humility to understand that they had incredible, unfathomable insight in the way that they were going to structure things. And in many ways, I think we have some insight now into the authority of Chazal, why it became so binding, and how we can, in our own way, understand it, appreciate it, and hopefully gain from it.